You're listening to the Children's Hour, and our guests today on the show are from BEMP. It's the Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Program, and they are collecting data on all kinds of environmental information and facts in the area that's a forest around our rivers here in the high desert southwestern United States.
What type of data do you collect?
That's really great. So we actually collect a lot of different data. As Annie was mentioning, when students come with us out into the field, we look a lot at precipitation, which if you are familiar, that's anything that's falling out of the sky, like rain and snow and sleet, stuff like that. We always look at litter fall, which Annie was also mentioning, it's actually plant material. So when our seasons change, right, think about in your own mind, think about how those trees look different, right? Do they look the same from spring to winter? A lot of those trees change, right? Of course, a lot of the trees that we have down in our bosque are cottonwood trees. And so we're looking a lot at our cottonwood leaves that fall, a variety of other species like that. And then we also monitor wells. So we see how much groundwater we have that's actually feeding into the river and helping to get the roots of those trees. And then if we're lucky, we'll go out and we'll collect data on spiders and insects and ants, all of those really cool arthropods that fall into cups. We do a lot of data. We also look at stormwater. We look at a lot at what kind of pollutants are coming down when the rain hits the mountains and how that leads into our river, things of that sort.
Zofra got my very favorite set of data.
Oh, no.
And that is our botany set of data. So every single summer, we get to go out and we get to identify every single plant inside of our sites. So the area that we're studying in, which is my favorite thing to do because I love, love, love identifying plants.
Let me try to imagine how this works. You go with a classroom to the river forest area, which we call the bosque. You mark off a section. Maybe it's, how big is that section?
They're actually pretty small. So depending on the area that we're monitoring, because we actually have 33 sites along the Rio Grande, which is really awesome. Depending on where we are, the site can be long or short. And by that, I mean, it can be anywhere from like 500 yards. So it's not a huge area, but if you're thinking about all of the data that we're collecting in that tiny space, it really is pretty robust.
So then you collect the data, all of this different information, the types of plants, the amount of leaf litter, the amount of rainfall, types of little arthropods that you find. You collect all that data just for that little strip of a section, and you have 33 of those. And is each one really, really different? Or why do you have so many different ones? And what happens then?
Yeah, all of our sites are really different from one another. So our northernmost site is actually located in the Santo Domingo Pueblo. And then our farthest southern site is actually down in Las Cruces.
And for our listeners who don't live here in New Mexico, that is a pretty long distance. That's probably a couple hundred miles.
It is. I think it's close to 300 or 350. Yeah, it's quite a span. And so we have a very different ecosystem far north than we do all the way down south. And then the majority of our sites are actually here within Albuquerque proper. And so when you think about that, even our communities here are very, very different from one another. And so that into itself is very interesting to look at. Just how our northern sites that are, you know, around the Alameda area versus looking down towards San Jose, stuff like that. They're very, very different from one another. Some are a little bit more deserty. Some have different types of plants, all sorts of differences.
And Zoe is describing a section of Albuquerque that's in the north part of Albuquerque and another section of Albuquerque that's in the south part. And maybe there's only about 10 miles between those two areas. But it's amazing how different a river area can be. Lots more questions from the kids. I'm going to go to Beth.
What's the coolest thing you've found from your research?
That is an amazing question and maybe impossible to answer because there are so many cool things that we have found from our research. I think for me personally is seeing the amount of plant diversity, again, bringing it back to the plants. and the differences between the sites. So it's really amazing. So for example, in one site, we can have like 40 species of plants, whereas in a very deserty, arid site, like some of our sites down south, we might only have 10 species of plants. So to me, it's really cool to see the not only the differences in the communities, so the different types of plants that we see, but also the density of the plants is also really cool and interesting to me as well.
It's not really from our data, but I think that the favorite thing for me of what I've found is how many students and young people, how many college age people, how many old people even have engaged with BEMP and how many show interest in learning about what's happening in our ecosystem and how it's changing.
That's Zoe Watkins-Daniels from the Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Program. Lots more to learn about community science on our show today. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
Pickleberry popcorn, pickleberry popcorn, pickleberry popcorn, pop, pop, pop.
Marcy, what are you doing?
Well, I'm feeling the air.
How?
I put my hand in front of my face and I speak, I say the word pickle. Try it.
Pickle.
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 Pickle, pickle, pop, pop.
Pickle, pickle, pop, pop. Hey, I can feel the air on my hand.
Isn't that great?
Cool.
We can't see the air, but we know it's there.
Get a balloon and blow, fill it full of air. When it's blown up, then we know that the air is there. Hi-ho, fiddle-dee-dee, we don't see the air. There. Take the balloon and go, find a scale somewhere. Weigh it empty, weigh it full, find the weight of air. Hi-ho, fiddle-dee-dee, we don't see the air. Hi-ho, fiddle-dee-dee, still we know it's there. Let it go and air will flow, it's flying like a jet. Hi-ho, fiddle-dee-dee, we don't see the air. Hi-ho, fiddle-dee-dee, still we know it's there.
That was We Know the Air is There, Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we have the Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Program. They are teaching kids how to be scientists, and kids are actually collecting real data that is used by government agencies, tribal agencies, policymakers, leaders, and more, tracking the ecosystem of our fragile forest area that is near our rivers, specifically the Rio Grande, which runs right through the center of New Mexico from north to south.
How much insects have you collected and how much like bugs have you collected right now?
I don't really know how to quantify that, Max, but that I love that question. If we had another one of our employees here, he's kind of our bug guy. He's the resident bug man who knows absolutely everything. But what I will tell you is this. One of the most popular insects that we find a lot of are little roly-polies, if you've seen them, right? They kind of have this beautiful shell that kind of folds into itself and they turn into a little ball. We have bags and bags and bags and bags of them in the freezer. So I would say lots and lots and lots of insects.
So you say that there are a lot of different places that can use the information you collect. If there are, what are the projects that are currently going on that people should know about that this data is being used in?
Yeah, so a lot of our data actually goes towards federal contracts and federal partners. We have tribal officials that are using our data. Even local officials use that data. And so we have everything from folks who are working with water policy here to looking at the longevity of climate change in our ecosystem. And that there's a lot of people that are using our information. So if you've ever heard of the United States Bureau of Reclamation, if you've ever heard of the Army Corps of Engineers, people like that use our data all of the time. And what's so neat is that that data is actually, it's being collected by students. And so that student's data goes towards these huge organizations that are making really big decisions based off of what we found.
What do you use the data that you collect for?
Yeah, what kind of things are you looking for? Are you looking for change over time or just to know what's out there?
I think that the Bosque ecosystem monitoring started at a time when we started to realize all of the impacts we were having on ecosystems. And I do think that the primary objective in collecting all these data is to see change over time. So whether that change over time means the climate's getting drier or hotter or warmer or colder, we're just trying to see what is happening, what are the differences, how are plant communities shifting, how is our groundwater and our surface water patterns shifting.
I think that it's difficult to say what we're seeing. I think that one of the main things that we are learning, right, is that our cottonwoods are getting to an age where they're dying. And unfortunately, in order for cottonwood trees, little saplings and seedlings to survive, they need a much moister, richer, wetter soil in order for them to grow and sprout and survive. And unfortunately, because we've made so many adjustments to the river itself, that surrounding area of our riparian forest, it's not wet enough. It's too dry. And so our future generation of cottonwoods is unfortunately not there for us right now. And it's showing us the value of a lot of the other species in the ecosystem to be canopy, which is, you know, like shade and things and habitat for other creatures. But unfortunately, a lot of those trees and a lot of those plants, the ones that are thriving right now, they're exotic plants. They're plants that are not really supposed to be there. And yet they're providing habitat and shade. So it's asking a lot of questions more than it's giving a lot of answers to us.
Is BEMP just in Albuquerque?
That's a really great question. So yes, BEMP is actually an only Albuquerque-based organization. However, what is so cool about BEMP is that a lot of what we do are things that people can do no matter where you live. We talk about this idea of citizen science. I like to call it community science because the word citizen to me is very one-sided, but community science, right? The idea of other people becoming or engaging in science, I think it's two things. One is that we're all scientists, naturally. You don't have to go do these fancy things and wear a white lab coat to be a scientist. The fact that you're out observing, you're just paying attention, that into itself is science. We have a lot of different activities, a lot of this data that we've been talking about and a lot of ways to collect that data. We actually have materials on our website that allow you and help you to create those sorts of things in your own backyard. So if you wanted to create your own BEMP monitoring site in your backyard where you're looking at litter fall and precipitation, you can do that. We provide you with the resources that you would need to make that happen.
We've had BEMP on the Children's Hour before. And very recently, a listener reached out to us from Michigan asking, where is the Michigan BEMP? And it turns out there isn't a Michigan BEMP. So wherever you live and you're listening to the Children's Hour, now you know what's needed in your neighborhood. And there are the tools to help you get going at BEMP.org. That's BEMP.org. What you do with BEMP is really inspiring because what you're doing is you're not only collecting this really important data that we need in our community to know how to make plans going forward, way beyond just what does the river look like or will these trees get water, but where should we build a bridge or a road or houses? And not only that, you're inspiring kids to realize they have the power to be part of all of that by collecting this data. It's just so cool. I'm so grateful you took the time to come with us on the Children's Hour today.
Thank you all very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been really fun.
We've got links posted at childrenshour.org.
My friends think it's boring when I want to go exploring the particles and elements, the building blocks of life. But give me a microscope and 2 ounces of hope, and we just might make science history. I wanna be like Madame Curie when I grow up. Explore the world that's always twirling and other stuff. Just like Madame Curie. She was a professor, the first woman ever in Paris at the university. It's not easy to discover what Madame had uncovered, polonium and radium that others could not see. So she took her microscope and 2 ounces of hope and found the theory of radioactivity. I wanna be like Madame Curie when I grow up. Explore the world that's always twirling and other stuff. Just like Madame Curie. Time will tell if all goes well. Wouldn't it be swell to win a Nobel? I wanna be like Madame Curie when I grow up. Explore the world that's always twirling. Just like Madame Curie.
Just like Madame,
just like
Curie.
Madame Curie.
Just like Madame,
just like Madame Curie.
Just like Madame,
just like
Curie.
Madame Curie.
Just like Madame,
just like Madame Curie.
You just heard I Wanna Be Like Madame Curie. That's Renee and Jeremy off Science Fair singing about Marie Curie, a pioneering scientist and the first woman to win a Nobel Prize. Curie discovered the elements of radium and polonium and pioneered the field of radiology in medicine. From X-ray imaging to treatments for serious diseases like cancer, Curie's work paved the way for an entire field of medicine. We've got a learn-along guide for this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for community science.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Hello, listeners. It's me, Katie Stone, and it's summertime here in the Northern Hemisphere, and if you're like many families, maybe you're taking road trips. If you find yourself on a road trip, be sure you take along the Children's Hour podcasts. We've got hundreds to choose from. Go to childrenshour.org.